This is FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. Stand by, Murfreesboro. The WGNS action line continues a search for truth.
Good morning to you. Welcome into the Action Line from WGNS. This morning we're going to be talking about the Murfreesboro City Schools. The director of the school system, Dr. Linda Gilbert, is with us this morning. Linda, good morning to you.
Good morning. How are you, Bart?
Doing great. Good to have you with us today.
Thank you very much. It's a bright, sunny day.
And it's beautiful out there.
It is.
And the temperature is not too bad either.
No, it's not, but I'll tell you, if you get out and do any work, you're going to perspire just a little bit.
Well, you brought with you the school's human resources director, Ralph Ringstaff. Ralph, good morning to you.
Good morning, Bart. How are you doing?
Doing great. Good to have you with us today.
Thank you.
And we're going to be talking about starting up a process. We're at the beginning of the school year. We're going to be talking about hiring and placement and things of that sort. That has to be a challenge.
It is. We've made it a little bit easier for the Human Resources Department and the principals. We've put our application process online this year, as opposed to in the previous years. We've had applicants had to complete a hard copy application, and then when a principal had an opening, the Human Resources Department would have to make copies of that application and send to all the principals. So we've made that process a little bit easier.
Easier for everybody involved.
Yes, sir.
Like.
Yes, sir.
So is that working out well, or is it too soon to tell?
No, sir. It's really working out well. We've hired 54 teachers this year, new teachers, and the principals can access the applications online at their computer, either at the school or at home, to determine which applicants they would like to interview for those open positions.
Well, now, are you finding most of the persons who are applying for jobs with the Murfreesboro City School System, are they graduates of MTSU and possibly also people who have grown up here?
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. I would say about 90% of our applicants are local Murfreesboro, Rutherford County residents.
I guess if once you're here for a while, you don't want to leave.
That's true.
It's that quality of life.
It really is. What a great place to be, too. And Dr. Gilbert, you have found that to be true, and you're finding that the youngsters who grow up here, there's so many opportunities for them.
You're right, and I think a lot of the students that come to MTSU from other areas of the state, other areas of the country, they find that they like it here and they stay here, and so that's a real blessing, too.
Very definitely. Now, there are some events coming up which we want to touch on as well, and we'll come back and talk a little bit more with Ralph Ringstaff about the starting up process and what have you, but want to touch on some things to come so that when we get to the segment of the program where we open up the phone lines, there are quite a few topics on the table for anyone to discuss or bring in a topic that you wish to discuss. Coming up Saturday, August 27th, the Back to School Blast at Cannonsburg. What's that all about?
Well, it's a partnership between Parks and Rec and Murfreesboro City Schools. We've done it now. I know we had this last year, but it's really a chance for the community to come out, for parents and their children to come out. We'll have community agencies. We'll have schools represented there. I think MTSU is going to be there. We'll have booths set up, and really it's just a good time for families to come together. Of course, Cannonsburg is a wonderful place, and we really appreciate Lanny Goodwin, his leadership, and also Sheila Hodges, who helps at Cannonsburg, really organizes that place, and she's worked closely with Candy Clifford and other agencies, so very excited about that. We have a lot of schools that are having their room meetings this week, had some room meetings last week where the families are coming in and getting oriented to the academic process. We've had teachers in this last week, and we'll have them in this week. Every grade level leader coming in to talk about new reading series, new math series. We'll be meeting with principals again tomorrow. I've already met with them a couple of times and helping them. And so it's just a busy time of year. We're already looking at events in September. The Reading Rally and Reading in the Schools Day, of course, will happen about the 23rd and 24th. We'll be having Hispanic Celebration on the 16th. So just a busy time and trying to get teachers settled and teachers hired and students in school. So it's a good time of year.
When does it all seem to, slow down a bit and get to normal, so to speak?
Well, I don't think there's a normal anymore, Bart. I don't think it does slow down. And I'm not sure that we want it to slow down. I think it's really important that even in the summer that your schools are the centers of the community. And this year we certainly had some events at Patterson Park. As you know, we work closely with Andy Herzer and had a 3-week camp there, in addition to the camps that and the activities that happen in each one of the schools with ESP. You're looking at 6 o'clock at night, and I think you will probably see more events happening in the schools. We have 3 family learning centers, family resource centers now, one at Franklin Heights, one in the Mitchell-Nielsen area, and one in the Bellwood area. So those are going to be having events during the day and after school for families. And so I'm not sure that it slows down, and I'm not sure that we want it to, Bart. I think if we're going to be a school system that serves the community and serves children, children don't stop and families don't stop. And so whatever we can do to help the community, that's what we're about.
This is all coming together all through the year, and thanks to the Murfreesboro City Schools. And one of the things I've noticed you're working on is getting parents more involved with the schools.
We are. We have a couple of folks that work very hard on that. Recently, as you know, again, Greg Lyles is now heading up Community Initiatives, just doing a marvelous job with that. We're partnering with MTSU to try to get our families on that campus. It's really important for our children to see beyond high school and to see what their careers can be. We have partnered with the Tennessee Technology Center, Carol Purrier and Judy Henniker there for summer camps, and we'll be working with them throughout the school year. Attended one of the camp celebrations over there. We had a technology camp, and we were very pleased by the turnout of families, parents. We had Mitchell-Nielsen had a block party, and there were a lot of families there. So we are, this year, I think you will see us reaching out more to families, wanting to engage families, because they are our partners. And I have never found an adversarial relationship to help. Now, there are times when there are disagreements between what we can do legally and what parents may want. But I think overall, our relationship with parents, I think we'll see that improve. And I think that we are looking to that, because we know that the parents are wanting their children to succeed, and that's certainly what we want.
We saw the population of Murfreesboro with the latest census increase dramatically again. And is that putting a strain on the city schools? Do you need more schools?
Well, we're not looking at that right now. Of course, we're constantly monitoring that. We know that in the Cason Lane Scales area, Scales is absolutely packed. In fact, we have right at 1,000 students there, about 1,008, which is pretty much to their max, but we can still do some moving, I think. We certainly, with John Pittard, we're seeing that school is full, Northfield close to being full, Siegel close to being full, but we still, I think, can do some shifting, and I think that's important that we're able to do that. We are looking at the future constantly, but right now we are not too concerned about where we are, so we feel pretty comfortable with where we are as far as ability to adequately serve our children. And of course, adequately is not good enough for us, but we can serve our children with the facilities we have right now. We have spent some time this summer. We actually had the energy efficient grants from the state, and we were able to put new lighting in 7 of our schools, and we think that will help us with saving money. We were able to work on the roofs, we were able to work on the boilers, something new I learned about last year, Bart. I didn't know about
boilers.
Boilers, I'm telling you. But the air conditioning units at 3 of our schools. And so one thing that we're trying to do, and we do well, is the upkeep of our older schools. And I think That's important because I think that those schools have an ambiance, and I think that they still are just as able to serve our children as our newer facilities. We just have to be sure that the technology is there, that the lighting is there, that the comfort is there that we might have in some of our newer schools. So we're cognizant of that, and we're cognizant of our growth to make sure that we can serve the kids, because that's what it's all about.
In addition to what we might term traditional education, it seems that the direction now might be to give students who are really gifted in areas of math and science and things of that sort an opportunity to learn all that they can, and some special schools are set up to sort of excel students in those particular areas. How is that going, and do you think that that's the future of education with more of those schools?
I think it's going well, Bart. I think that in Murfreesboro, what we did last year is we really made sure that we had a solid foundation, and so we started communicating with each other more. We started collaborating with each other more. We started sharing ideas across the district. Principals began visiting other principal schools. And I know that sounds like a normal kind of thing that you might expect in a school district, but really it's very easy for schools to get focused on the minutiae of what's happening inside a particular school and seeing the instead of seeing the broader picture of the school district. So the approach that we took last year is that the children at Bradley are also belong to the folks at Discovery, and they belong to the folks at Pittard, and the folks at Case and Lane belong to those of us who are at Black Fox. So we really looked at our children, and we began to get consistency across the district as far as the expectations. We began to get consistency across the district as far as the content, the standards that are taught. One thing that we have heard about a lot from the state is the fact that our standards were not rigorous enough. And so we saw new standards come down from the state. And this year we have seen new content standards happen in grades K-2. So we really started looking at a solid foundation for the entire school district. Now this year I think what you will see happening is you will see us paying attention to those individual children that may need something a little different. For example, this year we will be looking very closely at ESP, we will be looking very closely at ELL, and we will be looking very closely at special ed. We want to make sure that the students who are accessing our after-school and before-school care, we want to make sure that those programs are linked to the academic day, but also that there's true enrichment there for those children whose parents may not be able to take them to music lessons or to karate lessons. So we'll be really working on revising that program and expanding it. We also, last year, you were talking about the growth in Murfreesboro, and of course part of that growth has come with our limited English proficient folks, where English is not the first language spoken in the home. So we began to look at that last year, and we brought on a couple of Hispanic liaisons, Marcella Tapia, who is absolutely wonderful, Ruth Gonzalez-Hill, and now this year, Dimas Espinosa will also be working with the Latino community, and we'll be connecting the families with the schools, working with the teachers to help them better reach those children. And then the third group is our special education group, and one thing that we are going to do this year is look at our gifted population and make sure that in every school that we are serving those students, to see if we need additional pull-out programs, to see if we need extra enhancement with them, because we know that we are meeting the needs of our at-risk students as far as academically at-risk, that they are not up to where they need to be with proficiency, but we also need to make sure that we look at those children that come to us already with a tremendous amount of knowledge. What can we do to deepen their experiences? So that while we're still teaching the same standards in each grade level, we're looking at really challenging those students, getting them into problem solving, having them not just know the basic skills, but also to be able to apply that knowledge to situations that are unpredictable, just as you and I have to do every day. So we will be, while we continue to build this foundation that we have begun, we will be looking at individual subgroups of students to make sure that we're meeting their needs.
As far as getting parents more involved, I imagine that's an even bigger challenge if the parents have a difficult time communicating in English. Do you have programs that can help parents learn English better and then get more involved?
We have partnered. Last year, we partnered with Joe Herbert at Rutherford County Schools, and he will have two sites where we will be working with our parents to help them learn to speak English. In addition to that, Read to Succeed will also have a site where they are working with the ESL parents. So we do have specific programs for those ESL parents, in addition to what we find Ruth and Marcella and Demas working on. So yes, we are seeing an increase in interest to help those parents because they want to be able to work with their children. And it's important for them to understand what school is about and for us to reach out to them. I had an excellent meeting the other night with some of the folks that are associated with a soccer league here in town, and I really appreciated their meeting with us and talking with us about how we can better partner. So I think that it is important that we reach out to the community and that we recognize that all parents want to help their children, and that we recognize that it is our responsibility to help those parents to help their children. A lot of people disagree with that, but I think that if we remember that parents are the frontline educators in many, many ways. They are the ones that see their children when they come home in the afternoon. They are the ones that see the children before they ever go to school when they turn five. And I think that it's foolish for us not to try to reach out to parents and to help them with helping their children.
You've mentioned Hispanic persons pretty much all the way through.
Right.
I guess one of our big segments of the population is the Laotian segment. Have they been here long enough where they don't have this difficulty any longer with the language?
I think so. I think that when Susan Gendrich was at Bradley, for example, is when we had the first ESL program, and she was one of the premier pioneers for those programs across the country. So I think that there are a Laotian population. We are seeing now the second generation, third generation there, and so we don't see the difficulty that we see with that first generation that immigrants that do come here.
Are there any other areas that we need to focus on other than Hispanics? Are there other nationalities that are moving in large numbers?
Well, we are seeing an increase in the Arabic community, and we are reaching out to them. I was very pleased. A few months ago, we worked with the Department of Justice and had a training for all of our administrators on Islam and the Muslim community, and I think that's extremely important. I think that we need to realize that we do have a real diverse community here, and that diversity is what makes us special, I think. I think that we benefit from that we're much richer because we do have a diverse community. And I think that instead of trying to see that as a wall in our community, that we have to see that as an opportunity. And I think that our school district is trying to do that. And I'm very proud of that.
Our phone number is 893-1450. We're going to pause and check on the traffic and weather, and we'll come back and open up the phone lines. We're talking about the Murfreesboro City Schools today. Our number again, 893-1450. We're moving into the segment where we hear from you. Dr. Linda Gilbert is with us this morning, the director of the Murfreesboro City Schools, as well as the Human Resources Director, Ralph Ringstaff, is also here to answer any questions that you might have. 893-1450. We'll be right back.
Same rainbows in waiting round the bend. My huckleberry friend, river and
Good Neighbor Talk covers issues you won't hear anywhere else. They're local issues, and we're locally owned, locally operated.
We're WGNS, Murfreesboro. Ford of Murfreesboro offers the same great service you're used to.
Hi, this is Susan Woolsey, and I'm the Customer Relations Manager for Ford of Murfreesboro. I've been here 11 years.
Same employees, same great service.
Same folks on the service lane. We've got Albie Holt, who's been here, I think, 18 years now. Joe Ellis, who's been here 20 years. We've got salespeople who have been here for a long time. Most of the management's the same.
Online at fordofmurfreesboro.com. Stop by Ford of Murfreesboro at the intersection of Broad and Northfield.
Family Staffing Solutions.
They've given me back a new life. There are truly people in this world that care about the elderly.
Family Staffing Solutions. Personal care assistance at its best.
This is not a high-pressure business. We want you to be very happy when you agree to do business with us.
That's Becky Buchner with Family Staffing Solutions.
When you need that help, it's there for the asking.
143 Uptown Square, 848-6774. Online at familystaffing.com.
Bell Jewelers, where quality, value, and honesty ring true.
We buy our diamonds direct from the cutters of Belgium, the diamond capital of the world. Diamonds are a symbol of your devotion, of your life together, of how far you've come.
Bell Jewelers, a cut above.
This is Greg Tidwell from Bell Jewelers, across the street from Toots in Murfreesboro. Visit us online at belljeweler.com.
Play it again, sports!
Your football headquarters.
If you play youth football, we've got the best deals in town. This is Scott with a reminder to all Mustang, Blue Raider, and City League youth football players to come in for the name brand pants, helmets, pads, and more at Played Against Sports on North Thompson Lane.
Good morning. We're starting to deal with some very heavy rush hour volume along Interstate 24 as you're making your way through Smyrna into Davidson County. So be careful out there on this Monday morning commute. Murfreesboro Road stop and go traffic now throughout Smyrna and Laverne. And all of your points of access to the interstate becoming very busy at this time. Heads Up Hair Salon has barbers, hair designers, and colorists for the entire family. 9 locations sensibly priced for over 30 years. Go online, headsuphaircuttingsalon.com. I'm Charlie Sarnay, and that's WGNS Traffic.
Thank you, Charlie. What about that Murfreesboro weather? Brought to you by First National Bank of Murfreesboro.
For the forecast area, we'll see plenty of sunshine, a high temperature in the upper 80s, a north wind between 5 and 10. Partly cloudy skies for tonight, low of 65. And weather, I'm meteorologist Mandy Thaluber. Right now, 79.
This is Frieda Morgan with First National Bank of Murfreesboro. At my bank, you're known by your name. Come by today, 2230 Mercury Boulevard, and experience the difference at First National Bank of Murfreesboro. Member FDIC.
Good Neighbor Talk covers issues you won't hear anywhere else. They're local issues, and we're locally owned, locally operated. We're WGNS, Murfreesboro.
Farewell, I know you're leaving.
Welcome back. 893-1450 is our number. We're talking about the Murfreesboro City Schools today. 893-1450, the director of the schools, Dr. Linda Gilbert, is with us, along with the Human Resource Director, Ralph Ringstaff. Our number is 893-1450, and let's go to the phones this morning. Good morning. You're on WGNS. How are you today? Hello there.
Hello.
Hi. How are you?
I'm fine.
Good. Did you have a question or a comment?
Yes, I do. I just wanted to ask Ms. Gilbert, Dr. Gilbert, if knowing that the economy being what it is and the budget cuts that everybody's experiencing, does she expect any with the school system? And if so, what does she have any ideas of what or plans of what they may change or how they may deal with any budget cuts or any programs that might be better? What she sees. I mean, in the paper this morning, there's some school systems that are going to a four-day week. Because of money restraints. So just wanted to hear what she thought about that.
Okay, thank you very much. Please call me Linda. I find that the doctor just means that I went to school a really long time and means I've got papers on the wall, but it doesn't necessarily equate to more intelligence or more knowledge. So as far as what we're seeing with the budget, I think we're secure. We did not have a major increase this year. We really went in with a balanced budget, and we have a good fund balance. I'm very comfortable with that fund balance. Of course, our district is always looking for additional funding from grants and from outside resources. In fact, we just received a $145,000 grant from the LEAPS program, which is the lottery program, and we will be expanding some after-school possibilities in three of our schools. And so we are constantly looking for those grants. Mr. Lyles, that I had mentioned previously, just got a $500 grant from Walmart, and we'll be working with Parks and Rec for a science program after school. So what we're trying to do is really be creative with our funding and to find outside resources. At the same time, we have looked at our personnel, and at the central office, for example, we have decreased the number of secretaries that we have. At the same time, we are cognizant that we have to be very efficient with our funding. That means that with our teachers, that we have to be sure that we have the best teachers we can possibly have, that we do have a trust relationship with those teachers and principals so that they do want to work here, because we know that it is competitive out there with the teaching business. Even though we have a couple of thousand applications online that are there for us to pull from, we want the best. And so I think when we look at budget, again, going back to making sure that we look a few years ahead, I think that if we are seeing federal monies come down, that we have to be cognizant that they can disappear. I think that if we're seeing local monies, that we have to be very prudent with them. And when you look at what it costs the city, I think it's about $2, about $2.06 a month of city taxes that a city residents put in. But we're very grateful for this community for their support of our school district. Again, I think that the sensible thing to do for us is to always be looking at how we can save money, and with the money that we have, to be sure that we're not using it for fluff. We have seen our teachers step up to the plate. We have seen our employees step up to the plate as far as their work ethic, and that's what we expect. I expect folks to work very hard, but I expect us to do the right work and to work smart. And that means that we look at money, and when the principals are requesting funding for professional development or for materials, my question to them, two things, really, what does this have to do with student learning? So how is this going to help our students improve academically? And the second question is this the best possible use of that money? In other words, are we using, and I hate to use this term, but it's really important for us now, what we're doing, is it research-based, or is it something that we just think feels good? One other comment, Bart, I'll quit talking about this, but I think it's important that people understand. We talk about three things in Murfreesboro City, and I think you can apply this to any organization. We talk about tools, we talk about toys, and we talk about trash. Tools are those things that really help us, really help students that we know work, that have been proven to work. We have the data that proves that those things are going to work. So the textbooks that we use, are they the best textbooks that we can use? Have they been proven to impact student learning? The professional development, those can be tools or they can be toys. But with us, it's what proof do we have that this professional development is going to get at the learning that we know our teachers need? So the tools are the things that we know work. Then you're going to have some things that are toys. Those are the things that we think that they're good to have around. We think that they work, but as far as being able to prove that they work, as far as being able to have the data there, those are the toys. And then there's some trash out there, and every organization has it. So what are the things that are in our buildings or in the way we teach, the way that we approach our work, that really we don't need, that we need to get rid of? And so we are about making sure that whatever we have, that they are tools. And again, going back to that why question, why are you getting this? What does this have to do with student learning? What does this have to do with, what evidence do you have that this works? So budget-wise, as far as when it comes down to money, I think we're fine. We have a good fund balance. We have not asked for an increase from the city for several years and don't anticipate that in the future. I think that we're just being very smart with our funding, and I think that's exactly what we're supposed to do. I think that's what the public expects from us.
At a time when Tennessee is working to make its school systems comparable to other states and really to make it more advanced than other states, how can we reduce the number of classes that we have to 4 days a week? In fact, I thought that was a state requirement that you had so many times you had to meet anyway. How can school systems drop to four?
Well, I think some school systems are looking at that as a way of saving money. I think that it reminds me a little bit of when year-round education came about. There were several models of that. There was a single track, and then you had a multi-track. The multi-track was implemented in California, where you had students starting at different days of the year, and you had several different tracks of calendars throughout the state. That has been abandoned, and I think that the four-day week, I think that if a school district does move to a four-day week, they're going to have to be very careful that every minute of the day, just like a five-day week, is useful. So I think that, as with many things, it is not so much, it does have to do with the time, absolutely, but more importantly than that time is to make sure that whatever time you have, that you're using every minute of that to help students. That doesn't mean that you're killing and drilling the kids, but it does mean that you are engaging those students, that they are actively learning, that you do have them up and you do have them exercising, but at the same time they're moving, they can be learning. So I think that as some school districts may move to a four-day, and that may be kind of the choice of the day, I think that whatever you do as a school district, whatever you do as an organization, that answer to that why question, why are you doing this? If you can substantiate it and prove that it's going to be better for the kids, then okay, then let's do it. But if we can't prove that, then let's make sure that we, whatever decisions we make, that they are the best for the children. So we're looking, we have to have 180 days, and Ralph, you can talk about this if you want, but we have to have 180 days. Teachers are looking at 200-day contracts, and that can look like a lot of different things. I think that you will see there was a movement this year from East Tennessee for some of the schools to want to start after Labor Day. That presents a problem if you're going to try to finish by June, because you're going to have to give up fall break, spring break, something's going to have to go to get that 180-day of those 180 days of student learning in. So I think that we'll see that again in the legislature this year, but the superintendents across the state, once we learned that was happening, really started asking questions, and our questions had to do with talking about families and parents. It had to do with parents like those fall breaks and those spring breaks, and I understand that. And if you're going to force a late start date in school, then something's going to have to give during the school year, or those kids are not going to get out in June, and then you're going to have students that cannot go to summer school, cannot start college right away, teachers that cannot start professional development. So, Ralph, do you have any comment about that?
Well, I agree. I mean, teachers also need a break at fall break, spring break as well, and you cannot start school after Labor Day and get out by Memorial Day. It's just impossible to do that. And you've got TCAP testing. You have to have so many days of instruction before you start TCAP testing, so you can't accommodate all the needs.
Right, and it's interesting. It's easy to think that it may be common sense to say, well, let's just start after Labor Day. But then you have to realize that, as Ralph said, you have to have a certain number of days before you test with TCAP, and then when those scores come back, you have a couple of weeks that have to be appealed, and then they have to be. So it does become pretty complicated. And again, going back to that why, I think any time that we make decisions, whether we are administrators in schools or whether we're legislators, that we need to know the why. A couple of things that are coming up that folks may want to know about, they're kind of out there, the tenure process and the evaluation. So I don't know what, Bart, whether you want to talk about
today. Let's take some more calls.
Okay.
Are full of questions.
Oh, okay.
Right now.
All right.
Good morning. You're on WGNS. How are you today? Hello there.
Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Yes. I was just wondering, I know that Dr. Bertram has taken a superintendent position in Chevyville, and I was just wondering, and I hope this question hadn't already been asked, how will he be replaced? Will there be an appointment or a runoff or something like that? And thank you. I'm going to hang up and listen.
Okay. As far as that is concerned, my job is to do what the school board asked me to do and to follow policy. I really don't get into the elections or the replacement of school board members. As far as I know, Dr. Buttram is going to stay on the board. I have not heard anything otherwise. He certainly is a board member at this present time, and the city council, should a vacancy occur, that's going to be up to the city council and the rules and regs there. So, as I said, my job is to work with the school board and to listen to them. They are elected by this community, and their job is to implement policies, and my job is to make sure that, well, their job is to design policies, and my job is to implement policies. So I really don't have an answer for you on that.
Let's go back to the phones. Good morning. You're on WGNS. How are you today?
Bart, good
yes.
morning.
Good morning.
How you feeling, brother?
I'm doing great. I feel fine.
You sound like it. I just wanted to call in. I didn't want to make sure I check on you.
Thank you.
But to also say good morning to your guests. Ms. Gilbert, I've been observing the city school system from a distance. I visit two or three counties per day a lot of times, and I see other systems. And I want to, first of all, thank you for the job that you're trying to do.
Well, thank you, sir.
The school system better. But, and also, Ms. Mary Wade helps me to keep up with what's going on, a very good friend of mine.
She's a special lady.
I wanted to say this so many times. The only time you hear from people are complaints about what's going on at a particular school that their child may be in. I have a granddaughter that's at Northfield Elementary, and I try to go there and have lunch when my schedule permits. I want to commend them for the tremendous professional job that they do. The teachers are very resourceful, very helpful in getting parents involved, and I just wanted to make sure I went on record as commending them. They do a wonderful job. The office staff, along with the teachers, they make you feel welcome once you come into the school, and that's what we need more of. And I want to thank you for that, because so many parents, in so many cases, especially some that I had to attend for some of my players for discipline problems and other things, they don't make parents feel welcome in their school.
Right.
And that puts a strain on a relationship. And so I want to thank them for that and make sure I let you know that what the job that they're doing. And thank you for what you're doing. Hey, how's your mother-in-law?
Well, my mother-in-law and my mother both are pretty ill right now, but I appreciate your asking that.
Well, look, we'll keep her in our prayers.
Thank you so much.
I've been seeing her get around, and we'll keep her in our prayers, you and the family. Thank you for what you do.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that very much. One of the things, Northfield is a very special school, and I was thrilled this year that the governor and the commissioner both came to Northfield. And one of the reasons they came there is because of what's happened in the school district as far as student achievement. The important thing I want the community to know is that we don't see the children just as test scores, that what we do is we translate those scores into how many students that are succeeding and how many we need to help. And Northfield has just done a phenomenal job. I think that Jean Lloyd being there, Julia Williams, the administrative staff, just terrific. And the teachers there are just dedicated teachers. I appreciate what he said about the schools welcoming. That's something that we're working on. That's something that can be difficult. Sometimes when you have had a tough day, it's very easy to forget that front office is the front line, and that school administrator, we are going to be working on customer service, and I think that is something that the entire city is working on. I know that's something that Rob Lyons is very interested in, the mayor is very interested in, Jim Chumley very interested in, and I think our school district can be no different. I think that last year we formed a foundation as far as academics, and we continue to work on that. This year we will work more with parents and work more with that customer service, but certainly appreciate your comments very much, and also the regards for my family. Thank you so much.
Let's go back to the phones. Good morning. You're on WGNS. How are you today?
Very well, thank you.
Good.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes,
good morning.
Sir. God bless the preamble to the Constitution, because it seems like all the other parties ignore it. Now, everything you guys are saying is nice. It kind of reminds me of a light beer commercial. Tastes great, but it's less filling. Now, last week, you ran the article in the paper about what went on over at Mitchell Nelson Elementary. Then this guy, Harry Gill, comes out and says anybody who does not want their child to go to that school feel free to transfer that child. I said it before and I'll say it again. He stands for getting illiteracy legitimized legally. And Ms. Gilbert, you be careful. And don't get in that boat with him because he'll make you sink.
Well, I don't plan to be in any boat except the own boat here with the city schools. And I will tell you this. One of the things that we talk about is that you've got to move from stuff on paper to putting your feet on the ground. And if there's one thing about where we are going with our district, it is about that it's not just about talk, but it's about walking the walk. As far as Mitchell Nelson, it was on target this past year, and the federal law about which we can do nothing with no child left behind does require that we offer choice. There is not a thing wrong with that school, and I met with their parents and I told them that they have done nothing wrong, the school has done nothing wrong. But what we do have to do is we have to look at each subset of students. What happened in Tennessee is when No Child Left Behind was developed, Tennessee made its standards the lowest in the nation. We were 50th in the nation. And so we were saying that 86% of our students across the state were proficient. Well, when we had the National Assessment of Educational Progress, the NAEP test that really compared our state to other states, what we found is that instead of 86% of Tennessee's students being proficient, only 26 were. So 26% of our students proficient, the governor decided that's not acceptable. What happened is the state increased the rigor, increased the standards. But still, by 2014, 100% of our children, regardless of whether they're ELL students, special ed students, gifted students, average students, whatever students, they have to be proficient. Well, by having that federal requirement of 100%, when Tennessee made its standards so much tougher and lowered to 20% were proficient, that means that every year, excuse me, I get pretty passionate about this, every year in math, for example, we have to have 20% more of our students who are proficient. Now, we're getting there, but the 20% is almost an impossibility. One thing about our school district is this year, as most people know, we were one of 18 school districts that had more than a 20% increase of our students that were proficient, and that's something to be very proud of. We had 17% in math that increased their proficiency. We had another 7% in reading that increased their proficiency, and that was just in grades 3 through 6. So that didn't even count our students that we had K-2, where we really were working very, very hard on developing an excellent reading program. So I think that as far as Murfreesboro City, I think that we know exactly where we're going, and that as I told the teachers last week was a tough week because they were coming in and we have a new reading program, a new math program. They had the new evaluation system that's come down from the state that is requiring 6 observations a year for those teachers that are non-tenured, 4 for those teachers that are tenured, and we're going to be okay. And that's what I told our teachers, that we had built such a foundation here last year that we will not be cracked. And so as far as where this boat is headed first with children and then with teachers because they're closest to those children. But everything we do will be for those kids. And regardless of what comes down from the state, what comes down from the feds, we'll be legal. But we're going to stay focused on children, and we're going to stay focused on what we're doing with truth and trust and open collaboration and communication and a focus first on kids. So that's exactly where Murfreesboro City is going, and we will not waver from that.
We're talking today about the Murfreesboro City School System. We're going to check on the traffic. When we return, we'll take a look at the new tenure laws. How is that impacting our community? Stay with us. That'll be in just a few moments.
This is Sean Brown at Southeastern Tire Service, where we now offer the Michelin Promise Plan. The Michelin Promise Plan is a new offer which includes a 30-day ride guarantee, 3-year flat tire changing assistance, and a limited mileage warranty on all Michelin passenger and light truck tires, replacement and original equipment. Did you know we now provide air conditioning service? Let our ASC certified technicians get your car road ready today.
Southeastern Tire Service on Broad Street across from Advance Auto.
Friends, if you haven't been to Bell Furniture, you've been spending too much on your furniture and not getting the quality. Bell Furniture has the Serta leather sectional. Regular $10.99, they have it for $7.49.
They have some beautiful chaise lounges, too. And Perry Bell wanted me to tell you that everything at Bell Furniture is made in America. Bell Furniture, 1517 the New Nashville Highway, halfway between Murfreesboro and Smyrna.
Weather Eye.
For the forecast area, we'll see plenty of sunshine, a high temperature in the upper 80s, a north wind between 5 and 10. Partly cloudy skies for tonight, low of 65. And Weather Eye meteorologist Mandy Faluber. Right now, 79.
Let's go back to the conversation, and we have just a few minutes left in the program, but I know one of the challenges that has been handed out is to have the tenure laws have changed dramatically. How is that working? Is that creating ill will? Are we working past that? How's it going?
Well, it's a very busy year for the legislature. They passed several laws that impact education. You got your collaborative conferencing law, which talks about the teacher unions and the tenure and evaluation. The tenure, and from the human resources aspect, I think it's going to, in the long run, unless they do go back and revisit it, I think it's going to discourage teachers in other districts who have tenure in those districts to apply at new districts because it's such a harder process to attain a tenure. We're fortunate in Murfreesboro to have a lot of applications for our openings. And I give attribute that to two aspects. Number one, Dr. Gilbert is so well known in Murfreesboro and well loved. And I really think that she has taught 90% of Murfreesboro population who are under 40 to teach how to play a musical instrument.
Ralph is saying I'm old. That's what he's saying.
Because I get emails.
Really old.
I get emails every day. Dr. Gilbert taught me flute. Dr. Gilbert taught me piano. Also, the economy. It's tough out there. We even have some teacher assistants who are certified teachers. And it helps in a way where those principals can evaluate and see firsthand their work ethic and work performance. And then when they have a teaching position open, they can give those teacher assistants those positions, move those teacher assistants into those positions. So that helps. But I think the tenure law, and I hope they revisit because it is discouraging some teachers to apply in Murfreesboro City Schools.
It sounds almost like you're going to see turnover in other areas, but not in Murfreesboro.
Right. I guess the teachers that do leave Murfreesboro City Schools, their spouse has relocated. Their jobs are relocated, and they have to move to another part of the country or state.
We are almost out of time, maybe out of town, too. Dr. Gilbert, do you have any final thoughts in the final 30 seconds?
I just really want to thank you, Bart, for what you do for this community. It is a special place. It's a very, very special place, and we have a terrific school system, and I'm so thankful for the community for their support. I can't tell you how much I appreciate the teachers. I was told last week I approach everything with a teacher's heart, and I sure hope that's right, because a true educator really loves the children. And I guess the other thing that I want people to know is that we are going to take care of their children and that we're open to talking with them. So just want to thank everybody for what they do for us.
Thank you for taking time to visit with us and being open to take phone calls.
Sure.
Dr. Linda Gilbert with us today, the head of the Murfreesboro School System, and also the director of the Human Resources Department, Ralph Ringstaff, with us, answering your questions. Tomorrow at this time, Murfreesboro Parks and Recreation Department's director, Lanny Goodwin, and his staff will be joining us. We'll be talking about parks and recreation.